Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers! Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondé.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Guarded again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
An unrivaled fan base. The best college sports town in the world. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Oh, that was absolutely awful. Heart-wrenching, avoidable, we'll go through all the words. Complete deflation of the balloon after some of the highest moments the Badgers have had in a while on the football field. Minnesota wins it and keeps the axe 17-7. Makes me a little sick just to say that. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. We are on 100.5 ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels. My name is Corey Sparks. I'm at the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios in Milwaukee. Thank you, Mother Nature, for preventing me from making the one-hour drive over to Madison, where my friend Riley Yauch is, and we also have Owen Dimple producing at the Everlight Solar Studios in Madison. 844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liz is more. I know you want to react to this. I know you all have thoughts on this, so feel free. We will field your messages. But nobody gets to go before the one, the only, Riley Yauch, a UW alum, after what was a heartbreaking loss. I am just going to let you run the ball, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Corey. I'm sick to my stomach. This is gross. I'm pissed. I'm angry. And I just got to get this off my chest immediately. Minnesota's the biggest little brother school of all time. Yeah, let's rush the field after beating 4-8 Wisconsin. Oh, my gosh. Not a single leg to stand on. At least Wisconsin rushed the field against ranked opponents after a disappointing season. That's the ceiling for a PJ Fleck-led football team. You can have all your stupid gimmicks. Yeah, storm the field against Wisconsin. Oh, my gosh. That's so frustrating to watch. It makes me feel slightly better because they're just a joke of a football program, a joke of a university. I hate them. I hate everything they stand for, and I'm just disgusted right now. Wisconsin had no business winning this football game, and they had no business losing this football game. Minnesota did not beat them today. Wisconsin beat themselves. And, oh my gosh, all the goodwill that Luke Fickell garnered over the past three games is gone. It is completely gone now. You had to get the axe back. You had to. That was a non-negotiable this season. Now we have another offseason, 365 days until we get another crack at the axe, and an entire winter, an entire spring, an entire summer, and most of the fall, potentially, of a completely empty trophy case yet again. This is unacceptable. And while I will put most of the blame on Hunter Simmons yet again, it was Luke Fickell's decision, I presume, to put him into the ballgame today and leave him in the entire second half. I understand his thought process. I understand, clearly you want to throw the football. Minnesota was very well prepared, to their credit, for the Carter Smith quarterback running game. The option attack was not working. I get what you're trying to do. But the biggest knock on Hunter Simmons, and why I crashed out earlier in the season after the game against Iowa, was because of his boneheaded decision-making. He made some great throws today. He potentially made what looked like a game-saving throw to Vinny Anthony at the end of the half before Carter Smith finished it off with a dime to Jackson Aker in the end zone. But then what happens? He marches the first drive of the second half, stares down a receiver, tip pass, intercepted. Okay, defense is able to hold. Great. Excellent work. No harm, no foul. He looks poised coming out the next drive. Makes some great throws. But then you leave him in long enough, and look what happens. Stares down Tretch, who was not open in the slightest.
He was double covered.
There was no one. Like, in what world is he open? That he just made the decision, I'm going to throw to Tretch. He's my guy. And he throws it right to the Minnesota defender. He missed some open receivers. It was absolutely disgusting. And that falls on Hunter Simmons, his play. But Luke Fickell, You have a horse. Ride him in Carter Smith. What are you doing? Who is the quarterback that led you to two top 25 upset wins? Carter Smith. It's not Hunter Simmons. Oh, my goodness. So that is on Coach Fickell. They had an opportunity. Yeah. Luke Fickell and Wisconsin had an opportunity to put a stamp on a disappointing season, but a very strong finish. They had an opportunity to go into the offseason with a ton of momentum, tons of great tape to show to recruits, to their own guys to get them back, and lots of optimism from a fan base who is starting to buy back in to the vision here, and that is completely gone. They blew it in every conceivable way, and it sucks. I'm pissed. I'm hurting right now. I know my fellow alumni, I know my fellow Badgers fans are hurting immensely right now, but no one's hurting more than those seniors, and that's why I just feel absolutely gutted for them that they had to watch that just absolute clown show of a football program in the Minnesota Golden Gophers keep the axe, storm the field, and get to chop down the goalpost. Vinny Anthony didn't deserve this. Jackson Aker didn't deserve this. Riley Malman didn't deserve this. This sucks. I'm just devastated for all those guys that put their heart and soul into everything Wisconsin football this season, who stayed true. Darryl Peterson, for crying out loud. Ben Barton. These guys who bled everything for Wisconsin football their entire career, and this is how they have to go out. I'm disgusted. I have stronger words. I was trying to get some of them out before we went on air. I can't say them on air. This just is brutally, brutally painful. Thank you.
It does suck. You're completely justified to be pissed. I think it's safe to say this feels like two, if not three, games every year. It holds way more weight, way more levity than the Middle Tennessee State game. Even an Alabama game where you feel like you're punching up and you have a chance to prove yourself on a national stage. Playing for Paul Bunyan's axe, especially when you have not had it the last couple of years, hurts. Mm-hmm. A ton. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented to you by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies, cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. Let's test out the remote delay here. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
That's not bad. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. 844-770-3776. Riley, you are not the only one who's pissed. Mm-hmm. Scott in Fort Worth is on the Cardinals ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. Liss is more.
Let's hear it, Scott.
Not great circumstances, but how are you?
No, how are you? Can you guys hear me? The phone has been cutting in and out while I've been on hold, so I don't.
We got you.
Okay.
We can hear you.
We got you. All right. Yeah, I take back everything I said about Fickell last week. Trash. Just, you're right. All the momentum was gone. The only thing you got left in this offseason is recruits leaving. Another loss in Minnesota. And you were criticizing P.J. Fleck. You can criticize them all you want. Talk about Minnesota being the little brother. They beat our ass all the time these days. So if you don't like it, you can get a head coach in here. How about an offensive coordinator that knows what he's doing? Get some guys up front that, you know, can actually, you know, move the line of scrimmage around. I'm almost numb. It's like, why did I expect more? You know, all the momentum they were building, beating ranked teams, even, you know, they're not high ranked teams, but just all of it, momentum gone. And the only thing I do is look on, you know, X or whatever. I see another recruit leaving, I don't see anybody excited to come to Wisconsin at all. And you know, you're right. There's nothing to hang your hat on. This was our Super Bowl today, the Axe game, and nothing. You go out there and you lay another egg like you've been doing all year for the most part. It's whatever, Fickell. Then we're stuck with this clown for another year because the athletic department doesn't know how to run an administration. So, you know, just when I thought Fickell was turning the corner, you know, we get this turd, and that's great. But anyway, don't know when I'll get to talk to you guys again, but I hope you guys all had a good Thanksgiving and you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And say hi, wife.
Hi, guys.
It's my wife.
Hey, Scott in Fort Worth's wife.
Complain about the Badgers every season.
Thank you, Scott in Fort Worth's wife.
But I'll just hang up and see what you guys have to say, and God bless you, and then thank you always for the show all season.
Hey, God bless you too,
appreciate
Scott. Really appreciate you calling in every game all season long. You are an awesome fan of the show. Really appreciate everything you have to say, and you're right. Like, I can call Minnesota Little Brother. I can call P.J. Fleck a charlatan or a snake oil salesman, but he's beaten Wisconsin 4 out of the last 5 times. And Wisco Greaves, he's getting on me in the YouTube chat, on me flip-flopping all season long, and that's totally fair. Wisco Greaves, Scott, like, you got me. I've been flip-flopping all season because I want to be hopeful. I want to believe, and I'm getting fooled. I'm getting fooled. I apologize. Like, there's nothing – I mean, we still have an entire show left, so there's still a lot more to say.
Yeah.
But this is just – it's just so – it's so disheartening when, like Scott said, it feels like we're turning a corner. It feels like we're finally putting together something positive. We're seeing what a Luke Fickell-led team can be in a positive sense, like the ceiling of this team. And then they go out there and just lay an absolute dud. Scott nailed it. He nailed it. This was our Super Bowl, and they didn't show up. So it hurts. It hurts a lot. We're all fools. We're all fools for believing. I know. I'll totally admit it. I'm a much bigger fool than most today. I will wear that. So
it's justified, though, Riley. Like, it's not like the Illinois game was a flash in the pan or the Washington game was a flash in the pan. Those two occurrences happened a couple weeks apart.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, they finally just ran into one. They caught a team at the right time. If nothing happened after Wisconsin beat the Huskies and it truly was a one-off, a blip on the radar, if you will, then maybe some of us should not have been fooled. The buy-in shouldn't have been there. But even Indiana, I know the whole moral victories thing gets really old, but they were down to Gideon Atuka in the backfield, but Wisconsin was in that football game with a few minutes to go in the third quarter, and then and then the game flipped on its heel. They lost 31-7 to a team that, for all we know, in a few weeks could be national champions, right? Indiana's really, really good. But they beat Illinois. They beat Washington. Both of those teams in a vacuum are miles better than Minnesota, and I don't think today did anything to disprove that, right? I mean, Riley, you and I were talking on the phone since we're remote, about an hour apart, and we kept echoing that Minnesota, they had a good game plan to contain Carter Smith on the ground. They didn't do anything world-beating. I'm not leaving this game after they stormed the field, which is still wild to me against a 4-8 football program. I don't care how good your rivalry is. I didn't leave this game going, wow, they really dialed it up. I mean, just take your hat off, right? Right, tip your cap to the better team today.
Yep.
No, Wisconsin had numerous turnovers. They had a couple of botched punts, the second one, which was horrible, and I would say game-jarring.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to this in a little bit. A weird quarterback decision, Riley. We've talked about this before. For the last few weeks, Luke Fickell and the Badgers have decided Carter Smith, he is our starting quarterback. He's really good at galvanizing guys. Anytime he runs for a first down, he does that fist pump celebration pointing forward, and the guys just rush around him, whether it's someone who's a freshman or someone who's in their fifth year on this team. He is really good at ushering a crowd together and getting them to all push in the same direction. Mm-hmm. What I think we learned today is he's not very good at throwing the football consistently yet. And that must be the reasoning, and I don't want to get into this too much, but that must be why. You know what? We can. Why? We've seen this the last, like, 4 or 5 weeks. Hunter Simmons has been the 2-minute drill quarterback, and today the 4-minute drill quarterback, and then he took him inside the 10. There was over a minute left, went back to Carter Smith. Jackson Aker, really nice catch near side.
Oh, my gosh.
I wasn't a huge fan of the play calling before that.
No, we can talk about that later, too.
Yeah.
But
we'll dive into that. We got a lot of my point in saying all of this is usually what we see is Hunter Simmons in for one series. It's the 2-minute drill. It's, hey, this guy wasn't doing a whole lot of good things earlier. That's why he essentially lost his job to the true freshman. But what we know he can do is run this offense up tempo. Where the other shoe dropped that none of us were expecting was when Hunter Simmons led the offense back out there to start the second half and then inevitably turned the ball over because that was an issue and ultimately the reason he lost the job in the first place. that has to be why, right, Riley? And 844-770-3776, that they are just not confident in Carter Smith driving the ball down the football field. They were down a couple possessions when the fourth quarter came around, and they said, we need someone who can stretch the field. That's going to be Hunter Simmons. That has to be it, right? That has to be the thinking, the rationale?
I think, and I mean, if Fickell just let Hunter Simmons in for that two-minute drill, delivers an absolute beauty, drops it in the bucket to Vinny Anthony, and that was all he did, that's a perfect game for Hunter Simmons. Yeah. And then Carter Smith threw the touchdown pass to Jackson Aker. So it's just mind-boggling. Because, yes, clearly there's no other reason. I understand. I mean, Carter Smith, he had some bad misses earlier in the game. One that comes to mind immediately is Tretch, where he just widely overthrew him when he was wide open. And maybe it's those medium-range to long-range throws that they don't trust him with yet. But today didn't feel like a day where you really needed to push the ball down the field. Look at what Minnesota did. They survived just off dinking and dunking their whole way down the field. And that was good enough for the Gophers. It was good enough to win. It helps when you start four drives in Wisconsin territory. That's pretty helpful. But this game overall just doesn't give me any confidence that Carter Smith can be the guy moving forward. If this coaching staff doesn't trust him to throw the football, which is kind of an important quality, an important skill set to have as a quarterback, how can you sell to your fan base that this is going to be our quarterback number one in a season that is make or break for Luke Fickell and Chris McIntosh and this whole program? I don't believe in Carter Smith right now. I certainly believe in him more than Hunter Simmons, but if they don't think he can throw the football, that's not a Big Ten caliber quarterback. So now I'm of the opinion, if that's how they feel about his development through a full season, you know what they say, by the time about halfway through the season, you're not a freshman anymore. By the last game of the season, you sure as heck shouldn't be a freshman anymore. So I believe the Badgers, you really have to attack the portal. You cannot make this mistake again. Danny O'Neill wasn't the guy. Billy Edwards Jr., injuries. So you never know what would have happened with him. But Hunter Simmons, clearly not the guy. Carter Smith showed lots of really good flashes, but there must be something that we're not seeing as fans or media members that the coaching staff knows, which is why they don't put their trust in him. I just don't understand why else you would make that decision in such a critical game when Carter Smith was the guy that got you those big wins. He was the guy that got you here, and they didn't believe in him.
And what did he do in the first half that he hasn't done the last 3-4 weeks? I'm just, where I'm getting a disconnect before we go to break is the plan could not have been first half Carter Smith, second half Hunter Simmons. So
yeah, no.
What changed, right? Absolutely not. So something happened in this game that made Luke Fickell go, we're staying with 15. Was it the throw to Vinny Anthony where it's like, this is lightning in a bottle. We just have to chase this. That might be it. That could be the clubhouse leader for why you make a decision like that. But I look at Carter Smith at 5-for-8, 20 yards, had a really nice touchdown pass near sideline to Aker. That's not abnormal. It's not like Carter Smith was struggling mightily through the air today compared to what he's done in the last few weeks. So if your expectation for Carter Smith coming in was that you better have over 100 yards through the air by the half, which I don't think anybody should have had in these weather conditions, it was going to be a run-heavy game for the most part. But if that was your expectation, sure. Carter Smith did nothing different today than he did against Illinois, than he did against Washington, other than win. He won those two games, but he played those two games. For the majority of them, at least. Yeah. So outside of, you know, Hunter Simmons going in there for the two-minute drill. And Hunter Simmons, we've seen the same thing. We didn't see a 68-yard bomb to Vinny Anthony that was almost a touchdown before. But we would see nice slings on crossers, intermediate to deep routes from Hunter Simmons where you go, there we go. This is, and I don't know this. You would have a better chance of knowing this than I do because I haven't been going to the press conferences before and after and through the week. I'm wondering if, even though Hunter Simmons, you know, was a quarterback at SIU and hasn't been at Wisconsin much longer than Carter Smith has, I'm wondering if they are at least assuming, hey, this guy's got, what, 5 years under his belt for the most part. He's been in the locker room. He's been watching film. I trust him more to rattle off these plays quicker in a two-minute drill atmosphere than I do Carter Smith, because Carter Smith was a scout team quarterback essentially a few weeks ago. So he's still learning the playbook to begin with. But I trust this veteran to at least be able to run an offense at a higher octane speed than Carter Smith, who, if he's going to run an offense faster, it's a run-heavy set. But if that is your decision, why did Carter Smith start the game to begin with?
Exactly.
Because he was winning.
And why don't you bring him back for the second half? Hunter Simmons could have gone down a hero. All his sins would have been forgiven today if all he does is throw that bomb to Vinny. Carter Smith comes out the second half. You're only trailing by three. It's not like it was 17-7 coming out of half. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was 10-0 coming out of half. Let Carter Smith cook a little bit in the second. I don't know. I'm baffled. I'm fascinated to hear what Luke Fickell has to say in his postgame press conference, because I know that's got to be question number 1, 2, and 3 from the beat reporters. I don't know how it can be anything else. It doesn't make much sense. Carter Smith was so successful in the biggest games of the season, not the biggest games of the season, but in the biggest wins of the season, the most successful games of the season for this Wisconsin offense. So why not let the kid try? Let him get the second half. And then, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but I would have loved to see what that looks like, because you run the exact same offense that you ran with Hunter Simmons with Carter Smith. I'm very confident that there are not two interceptions. And if you take out those two interceptions, worst case scenario, you're probably looking at a 10-10 ball game. Maybe the score stays 10-7, but that's a totally different feel than trailing by 10 throughout most of the second half. And I'm just trying to wrap my mind around it, and I can't. I can't get it. It's so frustrating. This sucks.
We'll step aside for a quick break. We do have more on the quarterback conversation coming up. But first, are you looking for a reliable roofing and home restoration company right here in the great state of Wisconsin? Well, Badgerland Exteriors is here to help you. Residential and commercial roofing, siding, and solar, Badgerland Exteriors has you covered. Visit badgerlandexteriors.com to get started today on your next project. The way I see it, Wisconsin has two very different decisions to make at this quarterback situation, in this quarterback combo. We resume that up next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
College Game Day post-game show. We are on 100.5 ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels. Wisconsin coming out on the wrong end of it. Huge credit to the volleyball team. They swept Minnesota earlier this week, actually, so that was nice to see. Was hoping it would translate over to the gridiron. It did not. Corey Sparks, Riley out here with you. Riley is in the Everlight Solar Studios on 100.5 ESPN Madison. I am at the Gerber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios in Milwaukee, as we let this winter storm warning pass by for about another 12 hours here. So we're battling.
Stay safe
that
out there. I hope.
Yeah, please do.
I mean, it'd be great if you're listening driving back from the game up in the Twin Cities, but... I feel so bad for all the Badgers fans that had to subject themselves to that. Just sucks.
Yeah, 100%. And I will say, from a viewer's perspective, as someone who was on his comfy couch, had a blanket nearby, was sipping some tea, been fighting a sore throat a little bit, I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, I don't have to be in this. This is a rivalry game. The snow's coming down, blizzard-like conditions. It was 0-0 after the first quarter. There were 80 total yards of offense between the two teams. I loved it at that point, and then the turnovers happened. So 844-770-3776 is the cardless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. List is more. We are also reminding you to save money and save the planet, ditch the energy bill, and make the switch over to Everlight Solar, your local solar energy company based in Madison. Visit everlightsolar.com to learn more and make the switch today. Everlight Solar, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. All right, Riley, I do want to get to the turnovers and the fact that this was just one giant game of self-inflicted wounds and the Badgers shooting themselves in the foot. But first, the quarterback conversation, I think there's two different scenarios, two different paths that Wisconsin can take with the quarterback decision here. So Carter Smith did not use a year of eligibility. He has four left. He played less than the four games required. So the good thing about the, or sorry, less than the five games required, but yeah, below the threshold. So he's good. One of two things needs to happen here, right? We have two choices. I'm curious what your perspective is, Riley. I can maybe guess which way you're leaning, but option A, go get a quarterback who can do something with not a whole lot, a la what they've done the last few years, at least what Wisconsin's thought they were doing, right? Whether it was with Tyler Van Dyke or Tanner Mordecai or this year, Billy Edwards Jr. Unfortunately for their fate, that has led to season-ending injuries usually pretty early on in the year. Looking back, honestly, Mordecai was the best one in terms of he was fighting an injury, but he came back the last handful of games. We didn't know how good we had it. 7-5 that season, ended up going up against LSU in the Reliquist Bowl at the end, right? But that first option, that's what Wisconsin's been doing. They've been going out, they've been scooping the senior transfer quarterback with a lot of experience and hoping that they can just soak in the playbook very quickly. And we've never really gotten our answer on whether or not that was going to work because the quarterbacks have gotten hurt so quickly before we even got deep enough into conference play. Option number two, keep Carter Smith. Four full years of eligibility left. This was all an experiment. The worst case scenario could have happened, and I still think it was important to get him reps. And I would say two ranked wins is not the worst case scenario. Today wasn't pretty. The decision that Luke Fickell made has us scratching our heads a little bit at where Carter Smith is in terms of his development. But option two is you take this true freshman quarterback, you trust that a full offseason of prep, he is a full offseason of prep away from being a capable quarterback, and you build around Carter Smith as well as you can, so well that it's impossible for him to fail unless he's not the guy. I'm at least open to that idea considering the senior transfer quarterback option that we've had. If nothing else seems like bad voodoo, we just haven't been able to get a full season out of them. I'm disappointed that Wisconsin did not feel like Carter Smith was capable of finishing that football game, whether or not that was the right decision. I'm disappointed that that was the mindset that was going on. But I am somewhat hopeful knowing he was able to lead this team to two ranked victories in 3 weeks without a full offseason, without a whole lot of practice reps with the first team offense. Keep in mind, he was the QB4 to start the season. Wisconsin went through four different quarterbacks. They were tied for the country lead in the FBS in terms of how many different starting quarterbacks they had going into rivalry week. Riley, at least in terms of these two scenarios, A, go do it again, run it back, get another Billy Edwards Jr., or B, build around Carter Smith. I'm leaning towards option B because he hasn't had enough time to prep and truly show who he is. And I know we're not in the business of making excuses, but this is a kid who, 12 months ago was playing high school football in the state of Florida. Today might have been a little different for him in that regard, too. So I am of belief that building around Carter Smith and seeing what he has when he at least has a full offseason to take in this offense and run the two-minute offense himself, I'd be willing to see that. I also understand the sense of urgency with Fickell and the easier schedule on the horizon in 2026.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And I really wish we would have gotten to see Carter Smith in the second half so we'd have more to go off of, more to judge him on. Because if Carter Smith made those stupid decisions, then maybe we're having a little bit different conversation here if he sells the game against Minnesota. But alas, we didn't get any tape on him in the second half. We don't really know. So now moving forward, I mean, they're both viable options. I really liked the flashes of leadership and of moxie and the dual threat nature that he showed in those two wins. And even against Illinois, he was able to throw it a little bit. Not too bad. I mean, the conditions were awful against Washington and Minnesota today in the first half. So I don't critique him too hard on that. However, and I totally understand, like, wanting to be done, as Michael Glenn says, I believe, or no, Parker Dutcher in the YouTube comments, like, you have to stop the rent-a-quarterback route. I get that. I understand. However, you look at what Indiana's done. Kevin O'Rourke, Fernando Mendoza, past 2 years. Getting the best quarterback in the transfer portal makes a very, very big difference. If Wisconsin has a healthy, strong, capable, top half of the Big Ten caliber quarterback, it's a totally different season this year and next year with a much easier schedule. it looks a lot different. So while I really like what I've seen from Carter Smith so far, it's tough to say this in the NIL era when he could bounce after next year. He could bounce this season if he wants. Yep. I'd really like, ideally, for Carter Smith to sit one more season. One more season, learn the offense, learn what Jeff Grimes wants him to do, learn how to throw the football against Big Ten caliber competition in the elements. He's from Florida. He's not used to snow games. Yep. This is probably his first experience with one of those. So give him one more year. Go out. I don't know. And this is why another reason I wish we had some transparency in college football, where I wish we knew how much does a starting quarterback cost. We're pretty certain that Billy Edwards cost upward of $1 million. How much did Fernando Mendoza cost Indiana? How much is Ted Kellner and these Wisconsin boosters, how much are they going to invest if they're adding extra investment to put Wisconsin in the top third of the Big Ten in spending NIL money? Where does that put us? How much money, if we got a top-of-the-line quarterback, would we have to spend on wide receivers? Because Vinny Anthony's gone. Dekel Crowdis is gone. I'm trying to remember his name. Chris Brooks Jr., he's gone. Tretch Kekahuna, there's no guarantee he comes back. Jeff Grimes had to beg him to stay this past year, and he convinced him. To his credit, I hope Tretch Kekahuna comes back. I'm not saying he's not loyal, that he wants to leave. I'm not saying any of that. But there's a chance he leaves. And then we're left with Eugene Hilton Jr., who is a great anchor for that wide receiving core, but you don't have a lot of depth beneath that to help a potential star quarterback. So would we have enough money to go get another receiver in the portal too? I'm happy with where we're at with running back, with getting Atuka. Dupree finally showed those flashes at the end of the season. We have Dylan Jones. We're strong at running back. You got three offensive linemen who are redshirt freshmen. They're going to be the anchors next season, feeling pretty good about the offensive line. Tight end, you have Grant Steck, who got some experience this season. Maybe go out and get another tight end, like a Lance Mason type from the FCS, who had a great season, all things considered. But yeah, it depends on how much it costs. That's what it's going to come down to. And ultimately, I believe the quarterback is the most important position on the field. You need to ensure that position is stable. We can't have a fourth season in a row with questions at quarterback where we're playing four different guys throughout the season. So I think it'd be worth the extra money to go out, get a four-star caliber quarterback, a top 10 transfer portal quarterback target. Like, that's what you have to do. You got to go out and get your guy and provide this offense with some stability. I like Carter Smith, but I want him to sit one more year.
That's fair. 844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. This is more. Matt from Chicago is on the line. Matt, how are you?
Good. Well, could be better. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, could be a lot better, Matt.
You're all right.
Appreciate you calling, though.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, looking kind of on the recruiting front, how do we deal with, you know, schools like Minnesota coming into our territory and what has been our territory under Barry and Paul and all the guys, and kind of taking our top recruits and stop that from happening to our little brother? And I guess secondly, stay my roll the boat, go Gophers, baby!
Get this guy off our airwaves. Get this guy, get this bum off our airwaves. We got Matt from Chicago. Now we're going to see. This is why, though,
I was wondering why
we had a new voice calling. We haven't heard from Matt in Chicago yet. We haven't heard from a Matt from Chicago all season. But this is why I tweeted out earlier this week, Wisconsin-Minnesota, the Axe game, has to be the most underrated rivalry in college football. Like, you don't get it unless you're from Wisconsin or Minnesota. This rivalry is awesome. Minnesota will always be little brother, despite the fact that they beat us four out of the last 5 years, which just makes me want to put my fist through the back wall here at the Everlight Solar Studios. So fair play to Matt. I never want to talk to you ever again on this show. Actually, no, that's a lie. Matt, I want to see you, hear from you next year when Wisconsin gets the axe back. But that's the thing. Those words are so empty right now. I can feign all this confidence. I predicted them to win 38-7 today. What a joke that prediction was. I can muster up a lot of bravado, but that means absolutely nothing when Minnesota beat us today and we have to watch them parade the axe around the insipid, grotesque state of Minnesota for another 365 days. So, but he does make a good point. Like, Fickell does need to lock down Wisconsin, and this game does not help. It's a lot easier pitch for PJ Fleck to come into Wisconsin and ask a top recruit from the state to go row the boat up in Minneapolis with him when he's had the axe 4 out of the last 5 seasons. It's a lot easier pitch for him than Fickell now trying to go to Minnesota and pull a guy from there, which I can't believe I'm saying that right now. That should never happen. Should never be that way.
Winners go to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, the casino with the highest payouts in the area. Go be a winner at Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. They're open right now and stay open until 2 a.m. on a Monday. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison. More spins, more wins, more fun. We'll get to grading the season and some other topics, but Riley, before Matt called in and trolled us for a moment, I did have a question about your conversation about the transparency in NIL when it comes to how much did this quarterback cost, how much is it going to take to go and get a 5-star receiver, what have you. It got me curious just to pin down the exact transfer portal window and when it opens. So the 2026 college football transfer portal window opens on January 2nd and runs through January 16th. Clarity outside of money and winning, clarity is a huge draw for certain players too. Let's say a 4-star receiver out there who's considering Wisconsin might want to know who's taking snaps and throwing him the ball next year. Riley, is it safe to say we need a declaration on who the guy is going to be next year, whether it's Carter Smith or going out and getting somebody else, before that window even opens? Because while Wisconsin would have to use that window to go and get somebody under center, if that's the direction they're going, that's the same exact window they're using to try and land top-end receivers, top-end tight ends, top-end offensive linemen, and top-end running back. You have to make a pitch before that, and maybe even to the world, if you want some of these guys to pick up the phone, that this is our quarterback, this is the guy who will be throwing or handing the ball off to you, what have you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it that way before. And I don't know if it's possible in this day and age if you can make that declaration. But, you know, for sure, Danny O'Neill and Hunter Simmons are gone. But, yeah, it'd be great for clarity for – because you know Fickell the next month, man, he's not going to have many more sleepless nights or many more restful nights, I should say, up until next season starts. So I know he's going to have a lot of conversations with the coaching staff the next month or so. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea. Either like the week of, decide, is Carter Smith going to be our guy moving forward? And you don't have to make a big announcement. Like, I don't think you have to put it out there publicly, but get it to the right people. Let the agents know. Let Carter Smith know, and his representation, obviously. Let them know, like, you're either the guy or we want you to sit for another season. And if that doesn't fly, we'd love to keep you, but maybe Carter Smith tries the portal. That would suck. I would hate to see that, but that is where we're at in college football nowadays.
And before we go to break, I should have clarified. I don't think we need a huge public
like a Chris McIntosh comes out.
Right. We don't need a, hey, we're going to make sure we put all of our dollars into building around Carter Smith. If they want to do that, so be it. But more so, a 4-star receiver comes into the office of Luke Fickell and Chris McIntosh and says, hey, I'm down to you guys in Minnesota. I know Minnesota's quarterback next year is going to be Drake Lindsey. Who's throwing me the football next year? They need to be able to answer that before the window opens.
Yep. I think that's a great take. It's a great take.
Yeah.
I got nothing more to add.
All right.
You nailed it.
Yeah, fair enough. We need some clarity. And again, we have like a month and a half to get it. But, you know, you look forward and you go, oh, they could figure that out in spring ball. They could figure that out when they're getting into their preseason workouts and everything, when they go out to Platteville, P-Vegas again. I really do think you have to at least have a relative plan going into the transfer portal that this is our QB, because everybody surrounds the QB. It's different than, you know, everyone's got an important role. It's different than saying, well, this is going to be our defensive end next year. No, I think those are decisions you can make in spring ball and leading up, even into the first couple of weeks of camp going into the season. I think in 2026 now, you need to know who your quarterback is before that window opens, especially considering Wisconsin's needs. They have a lot of them. Skill position players is definitely going to be one, with different guys leaving either due to eligibility or they want to go and test out the portal in their own right. Mm-hmm. When we come back, let's grade the season. This stings a lot, so I'm curious to see how low people go, if anyone's still able to gather some of the optimism we had from the wins over Illinois and over Washington as well. And we're taking your calls over the break as well. 844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. List is more. We grade the 2025 season. What a ride it's been. When we come back here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Our friends over at Liberty Station did a really cool thing this year. They ran a game day shuttle program during all the home games this football season for just $20. Got a Coors Light and a round-trip ride to Camp Randall. It all starts with Liberty Station, American Tavern and Smokehouse. Catered a lot of our ESPN Wisconsin tailgate events before each home game as well. They are located right off the Beltline on Rimrock Road. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauch here with you on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. We are live on 100.5 ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels, meaning you can go into those respective live chats and comment your thoughts, your chats, your reactions, any questions you have. You can also call the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. List is more, 844-770-3776, unless you cheer for Minnesota. All right, I want to go more macro here and look at the season as a whole, Riley. And I know today held a lot of weight. If they win, you're probably up a couple of letter grades, or at least a couple marks, maybe not full letter grades. Mm-hmm. And with a loss, we're on the other end of it. But I don't know. I'm kind of talking about a fresh wound here, so I know you're hurting. I know a lot of people are hurting. I am as well. How would you grade the whole season in what was a chaotic, at times fun, at times rock bottom roller coaster?
Yeah, there were a couple really great games like last week against Illinois and against Washington, but those couple of great games were overshadowed by a lot of really grotesque games. So I'm seeing some D pluses in the YouTube chat, and I don't fault a D plus whatsoever. I'm trying to take my raw emotion from this game out of it right now, and I'm going to give the season as a whole for the Wisconsin Badgers in 2025 a C-. That'll be my official grade for the Badgers in 2025. They had the hardest schedule in college football. We knew that coming in. It was going to be a gauntlet. They beat the two teams they were supposed to, not as handily as we would have liked, but we had come to expect that, so it wasn't too surprising. Then you get boat raced by Alabama. All right, fine. Wisconsin blew their chances early in that one, and then Alabama's talent took over, and it wasn't close. Then you had our biggest show of the year, the disgusting just debacle of a football game against Maryland, which just totally destroyed all expectations, all positivity we had coming into this season, which really sucked. And it felt like, oh boy, this team might not win another game this year if they're going to get beat by Maryland like that, who's currently also 4-7 and losing to 3-8 Michigan State. Like, Maryland was not a good team. And to lose that way, looking back, that loss has aged horribly and was still terrible. Then you had a good first drive against Michigan. Okay, you showed something. Defense held up fine, but the Wolverines cruised ho-hum there. Then just embarrassed by Iowa. Very similar first quarter to what we saw in the third quarter here today against Minnesota. Iowa just converted every opportunity. The Badgers gift-wrapped Iowa, I think it was 17 points right off the rip. at Camp Randall, and that was just – you got embarrassed. You got pantsed by the Hawkeyes. It sucked. It was just another I'm trying to come up with, I'm running out of adjectives to describe how I feel about these awful games against a rival, too. And I mentioned he got an empty trophy case again. So then we're really down and out. You get bashed by Ohio State, but that was, again, kind of expected. Then the defense turned a corner against Oregon. You started to see some positives. Cooper Catalano, Mason Posa. You start to see these storylines develop, the freshmen providing a spark. And they hung with the Ducks for a long time. And they finally broke that 15-quarter drought of an offensive touchdown from, I believe Hunter Simmons to Lance Mason in a rainy Eugene, Oregon. So that was like, okay, this is not great, like it's whatever, but you're seeing something, and then you shock Washington, and we're all fired up like, okay, here we are. Like, that's what I've wanted this to look like forever, but you can chalk it up to the weather, whatever. It's an upset. No one expected it. And then great first half against Indiana. They carried that after the bye. But then some freshman mistakes from Carter Smith, and Indiana out-talents the Badgers the rest of the way. So it was okay. Not great there. But then you just spank Illinois, and it's like, okay, finally this team has turned a corner under Luke Fickell. We have glimmers of hope. There's optimism for the future. Now just get the axe back. You got an outside shot at a bowl game. Close the season strong. Oh, baby, we got money coming in next year. Let's go. Well, I give this season maybe it's looking like a B minus or a C plus, probably more likely if they beat Minnesota. But then you just hand Minnesota the axe. You just, a vomit-inducing performance. The defense showed up, as they always do. They were put in precarious situation after precarious situation. Four drives started inside Wisconsin territory. You turn the ball over three times. They just couldn't get out of their own way. And turnovers are the biggest factor in that. Most of the stats, they were losing in time of possession for a long time. Then they evened that out. Everything finished pretty even outside of turnovers. They gave Minnesota free opportunity after free opportunity. The defense tried. They turned them away several times. But ultimately, it wasn't enough. You let Minnesota keep the axe for another year, and everyone feels gross heading into 2026. There's reasons, again, for optimism, and we can get to some positives later heading into 2026. But right now, everyone, like, you just feel icky heading into 2026, like slimy, doesn't feel good knowing that Minnesota has the axe for another year and you finish 4-8. It doesn't look good. It's just bad. So C-, and I think that's being pretty generous.
Yeah, D+, C- for me. I think closer to – here, I'll ask you this before I give my full breakdown. Weird to imagine a reality like this, Riley, but no axe game. The season ended after the Illinois win. What's the grade then? Where were you at before this game?
Before this game, C+. Maybe if they spanked Minnesota, we could get up to a B-. But it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I know. That's just the arena of what ifs, which we don't really operate with here. But yeah, I'll go D+. Really, you can convince me C- if you really want to. I think closer to a C heading into today, but, and you can vouch for this more than I can, Riley. You're an alum here. I went to school in the state, but I did not go to Madison, so I was not like breathing, living, and bleeding by this rivalry as much. I've still always followed it. This is worth like two games, right? Like, when you're talking about the weight and the significance, maybe even three. Like, this is going to stick with you guys with us for the next year.
Yeah.
Until the next, it's the same thing with a lot of these rivalry games, right? Like Ohio State, Michigan. Now Michigan's got to deal with that for the next 364 days. Ohio State's been dealing with it for like 1,000 days, right? So it's one of those things where you just have a countdown clock in the locker room. Teams do this. Teams circle this matchup. I'll go D+. And kind of harping on something we've talked about before, we'll get to the self-inflicted wounds. There were a lot of them, so we'll go down that laundry list next.
We got, Jason Ohl, 73, wants us to keep talking about the game. Don't worry, Jason, stick around.
Oh, we will.
We have more to break down from this just, man. Yes. I'm going to look for some adjectives in the break for more synonyms for disgusting and saddening and depressing. Just a bad game, a very no good, very bad game against Minnesota. We'll talk about it.
And we'll get to that, too. Yeah, absolutely. So, Jason, sit tight. We will talk about the game a little bit more next. But the part of the reason it's D-plus and not C-minus, too, is the Badgers didn't leave this game playing a quality game. If they did, they'd probably beat Minnesota. And if Minnesota puts up the best performance we've seen in the last 3-4 years, or in the P.J. Fleck era, maybe the grade is higher, right? It is the fashion of how you lose. But, again, we're going to go over this next segment. But the amount of boneheaded mistakes, head-scratching decisions, and just flat-out errors. It's a overused cliche, but it really rang true today. The team that makes more mistakes is going to lose the football game, and the Badgers led in that department pretty much from the word go. If you want to excuse the first quarter, it was essentially a healthy scratch there. We broke even, but Riley, you and I were talking. They were losing the field position game. You just had this weird feeling that if the Badgers continue to play a brand of football that we hadn't seen for about a month, they turned the corner of the Oregon game, Washington, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota. It's how they finished the season. There was about a 4-game stretch there where this team was playing really competent football, and it felt like all of that got thrown out the window today. If they play the way they did against Illinois today, they probably win like 24-7, 24-10.
I don't think it's that close.
Maybe more?
Give them the one big run from Darius Taylor, which also was because of a shank punt by Sean West. You give them that one play.
Good point.
Give them the one play. And that, they give them a touchdown. And Wisconsin, if they play the brand and level of football we saw that they were capable of against Washington and Illinois especially, this game isn't close. Minnesota was not a better football team, but they were just better today. They just didn't shoot themselves in the foot. They didn't make a comedy of errors. I love that phrase. Like the Badgers did
today.
That's
a good phrase.
It's a bunch of court jesters.
Yeah it has not been... I held out hope. Really? Until there was like 6 minutes left in the game. Wisconsin was down 2 possessions. There was really no reason for me to have this hope. I was like, you know what? This team's been hanging around.
Yeah.
They haven't played well today.
Tried.
But if they can just channel what we've seen the last couple of weeks, we'll be okay. We just needed for like 2 or 3 drives.
Literally.
We never saw it.
Just tried to hang on. But that's the thing. Who orchestrated this success the past 3 weeks?
Yep.
It was not Hunter Simmons. Yep. All due respect, I'm sure he's going to be a great accountant in the future. That's his major. That's actually what he does and what he's going to do.
Riley is not insulting this man.
Probably
his focus of study.
Yeah, he's probably going to go to one of the big four and be awesome at it. However, he was not an awesome quarterback for the University of Wisconsin. I would have rather seen Carter Smith in that second half, and it just sucks.
Yeah, had a couple of miscalculations today. Introducing Pizza Hut's new handcrafted personal flats pizzas for just $5 each. You can enjoy bold recipes like Nashville Hot Chicken, Pepperoni Duo, Three Cheese Ultimate, and Chicken Bacon Ranch. The perfect pizza deal, perfect for game days. Find the nearest location or order online at PizzaHut.com. Nobody out pizzas the Hut. All right, Jason, you get your wish. We are going back to the game itself. I have a few things written down. I'm sure you do as well, Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Missed opportunities. If A, B, C, D, E, and F go a different way, this is probably a completely different ballgame. If you missed the game, this is a great segment to tune into. If you watched it wire to wire, you can chime in with us on which one was the most crucial error of them all. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Opportunity is the name of the game today. Maybe just blunt errors. 17-7, a sloppy loss. Minnesota keeps the axe and wins this rivalry game for the fourth time in the last 5 years. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Corey Sparks, Riley Yauch here with you. Remote show today. And we were going over the season as a whole, grading it as an entire body of work. And Jason, in our comments section, brought up a very good point. We are reacting to the game itself, and there is a lot to cover with the game that happened. Wisconsin made a flurry of mistakes. A comedy of errors, I think you said, Riley. I might not be phrasing it perfectly.
No, you nailed it.
But So we could go back and forth and do this if you want. I know with the Alabama game, Jesse Nelson and I did a segment called Things That Sucked, because there were a lot of things that went wrong. This can kind of be a rendition of that. And it doesn't have to be in chronological order, but I guess I'll start out with this, Riley. The Sean West punts, there were multiple. I know it's a blizzard out there, man, but that second one being a shank, it immediately led to the one touchdown that I'll say, and the one score Minnesota kind of earned. It was a really good run by the Gophers back, but it started by them getting one of many short fields today. Special teams was awful.
Yeah, and Weston, Minnesota's punter, he was able to figure it out. So, again, I understand the conditions are awful, but Sean West, he's had a great season for the Badgers. It sucks that we got to put this much blame on him, but he had a terrible game today. He's the Badgers' bomber. They put Sean West back there when they need to flip the field position, and he failed at that today miserably. Two shanks, one led to an immediate score by Darius Taylor, 46, 48-yard touchdown run. And in a game, this is what I wrote down. This kind of reminded me of the Iowa game in 2023. Tanner Mordecai at quarterback. Iowa won 15-6 against Wisconsin. And they won off one big touchdown run by Caleb Johnson, number four, I remember. I was in the student section for this game. It sucked. Caleb Johnson, one big run. And they had Torrey Taylor, NFL caliber punter, just constantly pinned Wisconsin deep in their own territory. Tanner Mordecai broke his hand that game, but even when he was in, the Badgers just couldn't move the football to save their lives. And clearly today, until Hunter Simmons came into the game late in the first half and into the second half, the Badgers offense couldn't move the football down the field.
Yeah.
So what do you need to do when you can't move the football? It was the same thing against Washington. You have to force a turnover deep in their territory, or force a turnover and run it back to their territory. You have to make a game-changing play. You have to flip the field position. And the easiest way to do that is with a good punter. And Minnesota's punter, to his credit, had a great game today, and Sean West was absolutely awful. This was a classic Big Ten West slog in late November, and to win these kind of games, you got to be able to run the football, which Wisconsin was. Let me look at the official stats here. I should have had this up ahead of time. They weren't really able to do that. They had 86 yards of rushing to Minnesota's 128. You got to be able to run the football. Wisconsin couldn't do that. They especially couldn't do it with Carter Smith, hence why he was taken out, which I think that decision led to costing Wisconsin the football game. So you needed to be able to run the football. You got to be able to win the turnover battle, for crying out loud, or at least keep it even. You can't expect to win a game against any team. I don't care how bad they are. In Division I, let alone the Big Ten, with three turnovers and not being able to force any. And that's the only knock I'd have on Wisconsin's defense today, really, was that they weren't able to force turnovers. But to Minnesota's credit, they weren't putting the ball in jeopardy. Drake Lindsey had like 50 completions for less than 100 yards, to be exact. It was 18 completions for 90 yards. He was just dinking and dunking. Yeah. Four-yard out.
Charlie.
Four-yard button hook. And that was enough for Minnesota. So you can't just gift a team. You can't gift the Golden Gophers great field position multiple times. You just can't let that happen. And then you have to win the time of possession, which Wisconsin did end up evening up. Minnesota only ended up having about 45 seconds more time of possession. But you have to control the football. And the entirety of the first half, Wisconsin was not able to do that. The defense was worn out. They were on the field forever. And then when you got to the second half, they controlled the football a little bit. They controlled it a lot better. But then when you're not finishing those drives and you're throwing interceptions, you're having to punt it away, and then you have a bad punt and you don't pin them back deep, you don't put yourself in a position to win. You're on the back foot in all of those categories. They put themselves behind the eight ball. Every possible phrase you can throw out there for being worse than Minnesota. And that's just not a recipe to win ball games. It was appalling today from that standpoint.
That Yeah, special teams was one of a few eras. We'll get to another one next. But first, have you been waiting to buy your next home? Well, stop. Now is the time to get housed. For over 30 years, Bruner Realty has been providing excellent real estate and property management service in the Madison area. Contact their team at BrunerRealtyInc.com to get started today. That's BrunerRealtyInc.com. I have written down both Hunter Simmons picks. The second one, the more inexcusable of the two, where Buddy is just waiting next to Tretch Kekahuna. And we talk all the time with Hunter Simmons when he was the starting quarterback and when he comes in and splotches the separation between a Division I quarterback and a Big Ten quarterback or an SEC quarterback, a Power Four group or a quarterback. And that's part of it, is you could see it, especially on that second one. You cannot stare down your guy from the moment you go into your drop. You are giving a Big Ten defensive back 2.5 to 3 seconds to get to his spot. And he knows exactly where the ball is going. You have to be able to scan, and I think that's one of the few reasons Hunter Simmons didn't work out in relation to his issues, Riley, and you brought it up, is when he's going to someone, everyone and their cousin knows exactly where the football's going because he stares them down.
Yep, and threw it right to John Nestor, linebacker for the Gophers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hunter Simmons, to borrow a phrase from the great Del Griffith of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you'd have he had a better chance of seeing a three-legged ballerina in the crowd than he did of completing that pass to Tretch Kekahuna. Nestor was on Kekahuna like a rat on a Cheeto. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. There was absolutely no wiggle room. And then he threw it behind Tretch, which led right to the pocket of Nestor. And then he goes the other way. To Simmons' credit, he was able to cut him off, and Kekahuna tracked him down and... But yep. Then it led to a touchdown. So it's that decision-making from Hunter Simmons that just proves he's not a Big Ten caliber quarterback. And that's okay. I just don't want you to play quarterback for the Wisconsin Badgers. Thankfully, we won't have to see that next year. But it just further confirms that that's the position you have to get right, because mistakes by the quarterback are game-changing and game-losing, as was the case today.
Yeah, the three aspects I thought about going into a weird weather game where you knew there was going to be, it felt like a Big Ten West game, right? Three things. Win the turnover battle, rush the ball efficiently. Riley has covered it already. Minnesota ran the ball better. Mm-hmm. And play solid defense. And I actually think Wisconsin did the third part. You allowed 17 points to an opposing offense that got a short field repeatedly. And that leads me to this. It was early on in the game. It technically didn't lead to anything for Minnesota, but it was the first of three. The fumble on the pre-snap motion, I believe the ball hit the shoulder pad of Vinny Anthony in motion, if that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to at least excuse this one a little bit, because while Madison has had a little bit of flurries this week, we did not get blizzard-like conditions before, 12 hours ago. So in my opinion, at least, it's hard to simulate that in practice. Maybe the guy on the pre-snap motion, whether it's Vinny Anthony or Tretch Kekahuna or somebody else, maybe they're going 5% faster when there's not snow on the ground and your cleats are skidding. Yep. So maybe the timing was actually perfect, but Vinny was supposed to be like 2 feet past where he was before. And that's not to dive into the nuances too much. So I don't know how you felt about that, but early on, out of all the things I was frustrated about, I did write this one down because it was technically a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
I can't knock too many people for this one, because I almost wonder if it was a timing thing and Mother Nature kind of played a role in that one.
Yeah, and you saw later in the game, every time there was pre-snap motion after that, Carter Smith would wait an extra beat until the guy got by to snap the football. So, yeah, could be snow. Vinny was just a touch slower than he usually is. They tried to do it at the exact precise timing. They had been working all week at practice on Camp Randall's turf in the McLean Center, and it just didn't match up, so they altered it. And so to Carter Smith and Jeff Grimes' credit, they fixed that afterwards. And ultimately, since it didn't lead anything, Ben Barton got a big block field goal. I also forgave that mistake. And see, that's the thing. It's easier to forgive a guy like Carter Smith for a mistake like that. He's a freshman quarterback, first game in the snow probably ever, and is just a touch off with timing. And then the defense bowed up and they got the stop. Hunter Simmons, we knew these were his issues coming into this game. We knew he stared down receivers. We knew he made bad decisions that led to interceptions that took Wisconsin out of football games, because it's happened before numerous times. This was not a shock. This was not a surprise to anybody. So I just can't understand why Fickell and Grimes were comfortable with Simmons leading the offense for an entire half in this one. It just doesn't make sense to me. And that's an indefensible decision. I mean, again, I said in my opening statement, I believe I understand the thought process. I do. But it's still, you can't do that. You just can't. So that's where I stand.
Yeah. And that is, if you have any more, feel free to chime in too, Riley. The last missed opportunity and or mistake that I put down was preventing us from seeing Carter Smith out there with a football team he's led to a win in two of the last 3 weeks to finish this ball game off. I am still asking the same question you just did, phrased slightly differently. Why was it so important to air the football out? We were never down three possessions in this game. We were down two possessions in the fourth quarter. When I think of a team that has to air the football out and go 90-10, pass run the 10, maybe if you're on the goal line and it just doesn't make sense to put the ball in the air, I'm thinking of a team that's down 17 points with 10 minutes to go. Like, hey, tempo, we got to go. It's two-minute offense constantly. And that just wasn't the case for Wisconsin. With the conditions, with how well this team's been running the football, pretty much regardless of who's been back there. It was Gideon Atuka for a bit. Darion Dupree had his breakout a week ago. Why was it so important with a quarter and a half to go, with a full half to go, once we saw Hunter Simmons to go back out there? I cannot wrap my head around it. And if someone wants to call in and let us know the rationale too, 844-770-3776. Outside of Carter Smith not having a grasp of the entire playbook, why was it so important to air the football out in the second half? And we do have Jim on the line right now. Jim, can you explain this to me, or feel free to just let us know what you have? Riley and I are baffled at why Carter Smith did not get to go out there and finish the football game he started.
I mean, come on, you guys are the post-game hosts. What do I know?
Come on, Jim. You're the host of the Jump Around. Weekdays at 12:30 on Thursdays at 12:30 on the ESPN Madison Milwaukee YouTube channel.
We got bumped up. Here's what it is. The Badgers are so bad that I'm out in a snowstorm going to get Culver's ice cream for my kids that I promised to them earlier. Riley, you've been killing it. You guys have both been killing it in the postgame. Incompetence is why Hunter Simmons is playing. Carter Smith has played long enough, and just let him throw it, live or die with him. Because that also says there's no future for Carter Smith at Wisconsin at quarterback. Yep. You cannot roll in the next year with Carter Smith as your quarterback. You've basically written his NIL transfer portal letter for him. He's gone. Out the door. So
exactly. And why would you waste?
You guys.
Yeah, why would you waste a potential future franchise quarterback in Carter Smith for a second half of Hunter Simmons with two interceptions when you knew there was probably like a 95% chance of that exact thing happening? Incompetence, I feel like, is
right.
A good word.
Here's the thing, guys, right? Hunter, he's got a future next year, right? Oh, wait, no. So that doesn't make any dang sense. I don't understand why you know who he is. You're not getting anything from him next year. If Carter Smith is worse than Hunter Simmons, what are we doing? It's disgusting. It's baffling. And I think, Riley, you said something about they lost all their goodwill. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong. This is a nasty stain that they spilled all over their resume at the end of this season.
Yeah. And, Jim, you're very well connected with Badgers alumni, Badgers fans, Badgers boosters. Like, you had an opportunity to maybe get a little bit of that goodwill back with a big convincing win, or just any win today over Minnesota. Like, do you think anyone who was on the fence after watching Wisconsin smoke Brett Bielema in Illinois, that on the fence, like, okay, maybe I will renew my season tickets. Okay, maybe I will start coming back to Badgers games next year. Maybe I will throw a little bit of cheddar in the NIL pot, give it to Chris McIntosh. There is no shot anyone hops onto the Wisconsin side of the fence anymore. They're all hopping off after seeing this. There's no reason to buy into what you saw today.
Feckless. The whole team looked feckless today. It was embarrassing. I'm not the only one thinking that. There's plenty of alumni thinking that. The idea of Luke Fickell's resurgence at Wisconsin had that grand opening, grand closing. That's basically what happened. It was open after Illinois, and the door slammed back shut because this game didn't even look that competitive once Minnesota got up basically after halftime.
Mm-hmm.
But the Badgers just were out-physicaled, outsmarted, outclassed, and they didn't have the players. And I understand there's injuries, but also let's not pretend that there's something weird going on with Billy Edwards. That he's clearly not happy, and he didn't play this year, and he's trying to get a red shirt. So they're recruiting players who are putting themselves in front of the team. So the whole thing is a mess. You got Daniel O'Neal, just can't play football at this level. Hunter Simmons can't play football at this level. Carter Smith, I guess, TBD. But that's not on the players. It's the end of the dang season. Like, they should be able to be competent and look like they know anything about how to play Big Ten football. But no, instead you got Minnesota out there making you look dumb. And man, if you got PJ Fleck making you look dumb, we have some major issues.
Yep.
Yeah. Jim, we were grading the season a segment ago. How would you grade the season? How would you have graded it if they took back Paul Bunyan's axe, finished the season out 5-7, but at least on a higher note than last year?
Honestly, if you took the entire season in its totality and they beat Minnesota, I'd give it like a C. If I graded the momentum going into the offseason, I would give it like a B+.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess they're saved from an F, but the whole season and the momentum going into the offseason is like a D, which is the only thing the Packers have.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I gave them a C- because there were still some positive. Exactly. I admit that's generous.
There's our optimist.
I totally admit that's a very generous grade because they smoked Brett Bielema. They showed glimmers of hope. But the fact that it seemed like all that growth, everything was building towards this game, and it's okay that this was the Badgers Super Bowl for how down and out they were earlier. It's like you pick yourself up off the canvas. You get yourself back in the fight leading up to this, the crowning jewel, getting back Paul Bunyan's axe, and then you get slumped. You just you can't put together four quarters a decent football. You fall flat on your face again. It's just, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's gross. It's deflating. There's no juice going into this offseason. I mean, what, earlier in the day, they had a recruit come through from...
Yeah, four-star DL. Top guy in the class.
This is, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, and fool me five times, we're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's bad.
Yeah, I got called out in the YouTube chat by a Wisco Greaves for getting fooled like about five times probably. So I totally admit it. I wear egg on my face. Like, I've been fooled all season, and this was the nice little stamp. Fooled one more time. Big old clown show. It just makes me feel stupid.
Yeah, it's like, just like it that sucks. Meme. Just get out your clown makeup.
Yep.
Make up your face.
Yeah,
and wear it all
go
off
Joker
season.
On
yep, and that's the thing. Now we have a full off season, where what is there to be excited about? You bring in a big recruit, maybe if you make a splash at quarterback, but still, there's now.
Raiola. That's the only thing that's going to get me excited about this team.
You want Dylan Raiola?
At least it's someone I've heard of.
Fair.
Dylan Raiola is. You could take every quarterback for Wisconsin and meld their talents together, and they're not as talented as Raiola. And I understand.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's weird and kind of annoying. But if he's on your team, you want him. You'd root for him.
Yeah, that's fair. Definitely one of those guys.
I assume he's going to end up at Texas Tech. I assume he'd end up.
Yeah, I could see that. He's not. Yeah, he's definitely leaving Nebraska. But, yeah.
Still wearing the 15. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, this confirms, Jim, your take earlier from the jumper. I think it was a couple weeks ago, where now you have to make a splash in the portal. Corey is more on the other side, still wants Carter Smith. Corey, you can speak for yourself. You can give him your take. But now that's the thing.
Yeah, he hasn't had a full offseason.
Yeah, Corey,
yet.
You defend your take. I'm on Jim's side now.
Yeah. Jim, this was the scout team quarterback a few weeks ago. I understand it hasn't been pretty. I don't agree with the decision they made in the second half either, but let's give this guy the full offseason, and I'm of the belief you build around him. You have a couple of ranked wins on your resume from the last couple of weeks. Put skill positions around Carter Smith. You can still be run-oriented if you have a good backfield and a good offensive line, and make it impossible for him to fail. And if it blows up, then I have egg on my face.
Okay, but egg on your face doesn't get you fired. Luke Fickell cannot go into his contract year, essentially, with Carter Smith as his quarterback, a quarterback that he didn't see fit to let throw the ball around in what essentially was a meaningless game. Obviously, it's a rivalry game, but at the same time, if you believed in Carter long-term, just go out there and get the reps, to your point, Corey.
Oh,
the guy needs reps, right? And I'm not saying let him walk. I'm saying that Carter Smith probably has a higher opinion of himself than what the Badgers are going to show him when they sign people. I would assume that they're going to go big. I mean, is Drew Aller going to go to the pros? Is he going to go leave Penn State? I mean, you got to go as big as you possibly can at quarterback. And they have no receivers. They have nothing. I mean, look, everything's just bad again. Yeah. But we cannot just act like we can go with Carter Smith. This isn't 1993 where we can roll out there and not throw the football and be of significance. Like, if we want to get back to – and I'm not saying pitch away all of the things that Jeff Grimes has done this year, but we can't in the same sentence say, man, Luke Fickell would be so much better if he had Tanner Mordecai or Tyler Van Dyke or even Billy Edwards be healthy. He's had such bad quarterback luck. But then let's roll into it with a guy who's got zero resume. Is he throwing for 300 total yards in his four games?
That's a good question.
He's throwing for 200 total yards.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Doubt it with today.
I mean, 200 at least. Yeah, but that's probably it.
He had 20 yards today passing, so I highly doubt it.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's fair.
This is an offense that Carter Smith played quarterback for a few games that did not score 83 points in the Big Ten and will not have a running back over 400 yards rushing. And that was our benchmarks on the jump around. Because Melvin Gordon ran for 408 and three quarters of a game. The Badgers will not have one running back who has ran for more than that. Riley, you'll have to check to see if the Badgers running backs finish with more passing or more rushing yards than the Badgers quarterbacks had passing. And they will not have 83 points, which was a number we picked that because the Badgers once scored 83 points in a game against Indiana. They will not score 83 points in Big Ten play this year because it's done. It's over.
Yep. It's such a far cry from what we were used to seeing from Wisconsin football. And, man, we were I don't want to say we were all back on the train after the Illinois game. However, everyone from our office picked Wisconsin to win today. And it would have totally changed our perspective on this season. Now you start nitpicking the stats. Like, you start looking at the product that the Badgers and Luke Fickell put on the field this season, and it's appalling. Like, it's not fun to look at. And in year three, you just can't have this anymore. And now we know, like, you wanted clarity at the start of the season, Jim, and at least we know he's going to be back for another season, so we don't have to worry about that for better or for worse. But now you got to put all your chips on the table in 2025 or 2026. This has to be the year. You have to get back to 8 wins, and you have to show some semblance of return to Wisconsin football, even if it's not a 1,000-yard rusher. Like, get one to 800 yards. Get a quarterback to 2,000 passing yards. Like, these aren't hard benchmarks to reach.
I don't think the Badgers running backs, this is off the top of my head, but just the running backs gained 1,000 yards total this year. I could be wrong, but it's way too close.
And the fact that that's even a question.
And here's the thing. When Simmons is in there, and for too much of the Luke Fickell era, and I like what Grimes does, so this is the part where, all right, I'll give it to you. But the offense has been impotent. It can't do anything. It cannot score. It cannot pose a threat. It cannot be creative because there's only one thing it can do, and that's run. And I'm tired of it. The defense this year was good enough for the Badgers to at least be playing the bowl game, maybe have 7 wins, even with the schedule. The offense was impotent. It can't run. It can't pass. It can't catch. And I'm sorry. That's no way to enjoy a football season.
No. This was easily the worst Badgers football season I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
80% of the season probably was just an unenjoyable product on the field. And if I was just yelling profanities after this game before we went on air, Owen, our producer
right,
back
I didn't
there,
even know
can
you
detest.
Swore. That's what the Badgers have done to you.
Exactly.
If someone told me Riley Young doesn't swear, I'd been like, yeah, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Oh, trust me.
What they've done to our Riley.
I was swearing like a sailor. Like, the Badgers have broken me.
Oh, you're swearing on the phone with me.
Yeah. Yes, I was. Yeah, Corey heard a lot of it, too. I apologize, Corey. It was bad. I was so mad.
Fine.
That's the thing. The Badger, like.
I'm not the FCC.
I'm just.
Now, Corey, are these
broken.
Like real swears, or is this like Jimmy Christmas? Like, were these real swears, or are these Roddy swears?
No, he was going deep. Yeah, he was.
Okay,
he was
okay.
Getting his money's worth. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, total on the season. The Badgers rushed, this includes quarterbacks, rushed for 1,750 yards. The running backs, total, let's see if I can do some quick math here. It's under 1,000 if you combine Dupree, Jones, and Atuka, all combined for under 1,000. Dupree got the closest to 400. He had 380, 309 for Dylan Jones, and 269 for Gideon Atuka. I guess if you throw in Cade Yakimeli too, they just crack 1,000 yards between four separate running backs. But looking back, there this offense wasn't able to hang its hat on anything. They still have no identity. I asked Luke Fickell on Monday about the identity, if they were finally starting to see it come together. And even he seemed unsure. I'll have to go back and listen to his answer because it was a bit of a word salad. Nothing has come together.
That sounds ominous.
For this offense.
That sounds ominous.
Yes. Yes. Very much so. Mm-hmm. Very much so. And like you said, I thought Jeff Grimes, for the most part, called a solid game. You could tell he schemed a lot of guys open today. Hunter Simmons just missed them. Carter Smith missed a couple too. But that goal line play calling was
horrible.
Just outrageous. By Jeff Grimes, like, why are we running
in
the shotgun?
Pistol, Jim?
Pistol, why are we throwing screen passes? You're at the 2 yard line. Run four straight fullback dives.
Yeah.
Look, everyone falls guilty of being too cute. Mm-hmm. It was everything about this game was deflating, and losing to Minnesota is annoying. Riley, you're right. Big. I mean, Minnesota could have just won and done the axe thing and left. Did they really storm the field, or was this AI?
They stormed
the field.
They're 7-5.
Like, when the Badgers turn it over on fourth down, I was like, all right, I'm out. And I fire a plane straight into the automobiles.
Hey.
And all of a sudden, I see, I'm like Steve Martin with the rental car is basically how I feel about the Badgers. Mm-hmm. If you know the reference, you'll know it.
Oh, yes.
But then all of a sudden I see you going off on it. I'm like, is this real? Why would the Badgers have 4 wins? What are we doing now? And I hate to be the curmudgeon. I was for the Badgers doing it. I'm not even trying to be hypocritical. But the Badgers are a bad football team. You don't storm the field for being a bad football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they beat ranked
teams. We at least
did
it against ranked teams.
Like, it's even most people. I remember Marquette fans getting after Wisconsin fans for storming the Kohl Center court after Wisconsin knocked off, like, number 3 Marquette. And they're like, you don't do that in a rivalry. That's not how rivalries work.
Or it's for a top 5 team.
Yeah, when Wisconsin beat number 9 Iowa last year. It's like, oh, they're storming the field against Iowa? Oh, that's a rival. Yeah. That's not how it works. And then, but those teams were better than the Badgers both of those years. Then you have Minnesota. 7-5, they finished the regular season, storming the field against a 4-8 Badgers team. If that doesn't show you what a joke of a program that P.J. Fleck runs, like, I can't help you. I'm sorry. But the fact that that clown show has beaten the Badgers 4 of the last 5 years is scandalous, to say the least.
All right, fellas. Great show. I got to get going here.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. That's Jim Rutledge, host of The Jump Around, and Jim, Matt, and Molly, The Jump Around, a weekly digital-only Badger-dedicated podcast. And that's going to help you a lot get through the offseason as we near the transfer portal window, as we get into basketball season, and before you know it, it'll be time for a hopefully much easier schedule in 2026. I say that reluctantly because I circled a couple teams this year that I thought were going to fall off, one of which is in the Big Ten Championship in Indiana. I thought they were going to fall off a cliff. So I cautiously say it will be easier next year. Canopy Wealth Management carries a long-standing tradition of working in the best interests of their clients every single day. The team at Canopy emphasizes building local relationships and believes that values matter and strengthen their communities. At Canopy, it's care, competence, and clarity. Not just a tagline, it's a promise. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started today. All right, we bring in hour number two when we come back, and we'll kick it off with Red Hot Ice Cold. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.